But the thing is with the pet peeve, it's just something that basically the individual has voted on, and you've decided that this is what really irritates me for some reason. Mm-hmm. You ever notice that? This is the war we have inside of us. That's you have one. I guarantee you have one because you had a brothers and sisters. There's something that your brother does or your sister does, and you go, they did that one thing? And you'll even write a rule. And the funny thing about a pet peeve is when somebody breaks your pet peeve, we almost feel like, I'm not even responsible for my actions. Look what they did. They know that bothers me. What the heck is this thing? And at some point in our life, we decided that one thing bothers us. What we need to do is go back and say, I have no pet peeves. Because what a pet peeve is usually it's a justification for your old man to flare up. Somebody picks their nose, somebody, I don't know, the talks of their mouthful, or they don't pull their pants up, they don't tie their shoes, or whatever it is. Everybody's got one. What we should do is go, what are my pet peeves? And then we go, we're getting rid of them. Because in my opinion, all a pet peeve is we have allowed our old man to vote on something. And then as soon as somebody does it, you did it! You used up all the glue on purpose! I love that. But anyway, so that's just... So address your pet peeves and say, no more, get rid of it. Kill your old man. He doesn't get a vote. Back to joy's a choice. There was a story about a woman who was a farmer, and she was very poor, a poor farm with hardly any resources, bad land. And she always dreamed that one day that she would inherit $1 million. And why would you want to inherit $1 million? Because with money you can maybe fly to Paris. Maybe you could buy your kids some clothes or something. She also dreamed that maybe one day that she would inherit some money or something, because the money would give her something, right? You guys got a Cinderella story. But she was a very sad story of a person who just wasn't very happy. Until one day a guy came knocking on her front door. And he asked to come in after a lot of small talk. He took an interest in this lady on this poor farm that's worth nothing. And basically, after the small talk, she said, "Why are you here?" He said, "I want to lease your land. Why would you want my land? It's the poorest farm in all of Arkansas." And he said, "Because there's oil underneath it." And she goes, "No, there's no. There was people out here years ago. They thought so, but they never found it." He goes, "I don't care what people think. It's what I do for a living. I'm real willing to give you XYZ numbers." He slides over to this poor farmer and shows how much money he will pay her to drill for something. She goes, What if you don't get the oil? He goes, "I still pay for that. And if we do get the oil, then here's what you get. Here's a big portion." And at first she thought it was a trick. "There's nothing under this poor land. I'm stranded on this land. I'm an unhappy person." And in her mind, that if something ever wonderful is going to happen, it's going to come from the outside in. It turned out there was oil. It changed everything. The moral story of that is the woman had everything she needed. She just hadn't accessed it yet. She was right over it. And you can think about that. And so joy is something just like that. Who lives inside of us? Christ. Does he have access to joy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And because Christ is a part of Yahweh, what's more joyful than Yahweh? You want to know who Yahweh is? Read his word. And if you think you know who Yahweh is, but you don't read his word, you don't know Yahweh. You just read who he is. Read about him. I had a neat lesson. So, and there's another thing that is right before this teaching. Christ was working, and his disciples came to him. I think it was John chapter 4. It says, "Master, please eat." And he goes, "I have food you guys don't know about." What was Christ tapping into?
Yahweh's word.
And so this is something that even with me, with diet being so important, you have access to food. That's not just like a metaphor. We have access to all kinds of resources. And so even if I don't get my food on time, I can get very irritable, and then even my pet peeves really start getting bigger and bigger. I have a tendency that if I go without food or without sleep, what happens is my self-control starts going. But what does the word say? I can address that situation and say, I have access to food that they don't even know about. Like Yahushua did. Here's another example of something like that. So it wasn't necessarily Yahushua starving to death, although he did something that I could never do. But he was 40 days without food.
Yeah.
That's a temptation. But Moses did without water. Physically impossible, right? He had access to water, a different kind of water. Through Yahweh, through Christ Jesus, we don't necessarily need the physical. The physical could be a part of it, but at any point in our life, if we need something or we're in a position that we don't have enough, then what are we supposed to do? You tap into what's inside you, just like the woman on the farm. She had everything she needed. She just hadn't tapped into it. Maybe she didn't have the resources to drill it down, but you do. Absolutely, we do. Because Christ gives us all the resources to this ranch that we own. This temple of the living God. He's given to us. It's called the Naos of the living Elohim. David danced before the Ark of the Covenant. Why? Who dwelled between the cherubim?
Yahweh.
Yahweh. Yahweh did. He danced before Yahweh. And his wife despised him because he looked like a fool to her. Yahweh danced before him. King David would dance before you today. If he got a chance to see you. Why? Caven, you are the temple of the living Elohim. And that's why through Paul, Yahweh, through Christ, through Paul, we're telling people, take care of this body Yahweh's given to you. Don't do wicked things to it. Would you do that to a church? Would you do that in a church? No. Well, he goes, here this is. But along with that, a church could be something without resources. That's just a building. We're talking about a building that has access to water, it's got access to food, it's got access to supernatural military things. And what we can see is that we can be a fully self-enclosed farm with everything we need in Christ Jesus, including joy, which is a very, very, very important one. A lesson that I have when I first went to Kenya, my first trip, is David, that we drove to Kabone. It's like a 3.5 hour drive. The road, the wheels are doing this just to get there for 3.5 hours. Huge holes. This is the worst roads I've ever seen in my life. And all I'm thinking about, oh my goodness, this car's a rental. I'm thinking about the insurance. Because this was serious off-road. It was worse than what we did in Colorado. And when we finally get there, here's this makeshift stage that they just made. And here's people wearing clothes that we wouldn't give to the DAV. The clothes they were wearing, you wouldn't even give it to the DAV. People would probably use these types of clothes to clean off a rag on their oil. If that. See people with holes in their shirts. Even some of the t-shirts I saw on the kid, they might have been 30 or 40 years old. And here's a kid wearing a shirt like that. And I didn't even look at him going, wow, I'm seeing all this. Now, the neat thing about my time while I was there is I didn't understand the different languages. So even when they're singing, I forget if it was Meru or what the language was there, or if it was in Swahili, but I think most of the crowd that we were ministering to were not educated. So the educated know Swahili. It's a language that the tribes learn. The educated learn English and Swahili to communicate, but where we are, as far as I know, these are just tribal people. And as I was sitting there, getting just absorbed it all in, it was wonderful. Here I am, like, it's in the jungle, sitting around, hearing this beautiful music, praising our Lord and our Savior, in a tongue I didn't understand, but there's something that was ringing like a tuning fork inside me. I didn't even know what they were saying, but I kind of knew. And I looked, and I saw these kids. Some of these kids, they looked like they were really, really bad spots. And you know what they had that I did not have at that moment?
Joy.
Joy. Incredible joy. Elation. Their face glowing. Dancing. Clapping their hands. And I wasn't really looking at what their situation was. I was just enjoying the joy. And as I was doing that, Yahweh through Yehoshua who started communicating to me, Aaron, look at them. Why are they so joyful? So, well, they're singing to you. And then it was communicated. Is it their clothes? I look at the clothes. No, it's not their clothes. Is it their house they're joyful about? A lot of these people don't even have houses. Is it their parents? This whole town, the area, there's a lot of bad things we're coming against. It's not their situation, and it's not their physical thing. And so Yahweh says, why are they joyful? And I sat there, and a good teacher will make you answer it. You guys are homeschooled. Sometimes your mom's going to make you answer it. It's not just your mom. A good teacher is going to make you do it. They're not going to answer it for you. Yahweh says, why are they joyful? And I sit there and go, because they choose to be joyful. You see, if we are joyful because we got a new Xbox game, if we are joyful because we won a basketball championship, if we're joyful because we've met our spouse or we got a new puppy, it's easy to get joyful when you receive things. But that is a weakness of Western civilization. Because it's easy to be joyful then. But if you're joyful because somebody gave you a puppy, what's going to happen if they remove the puppy? It's just the opposite. If you're joyful because you got a new video game, what's going to happen if you lose a video game?
Amen.
You're not going to be joyful. You're going to be pitiful. And Yahweh commands us to be just the opposite. We should choose joy. We should choose to tap into His joy. Choose to be thankful. Don't wait to be thankful. And then when you receive things, it's just a part of it. And what it will do is you will bubble over even more. And how much more thankful. I was teaching Caven once. Actually, Yahweh and Yehoshua, Christ Jesus, was teaching me. One time he had all these toys in his room. And he looks at his toys, and he didn't want to play with any of them. And he was pouting, feeling sorry for himself because he wanted some Legos. And I'm sitting there, I'm looking at this, I'm looking at all this stuff. And I go, you really? You're not happy unless you get these Legos? I'm kind of thinking in my mind. And trust me, I'm more guilty than he is because I'm an adult. And then Yahweh communicates through me to him. Because I can't take credit for the words because I was guilty of the same words that came out of my mouth. And I told Caven, until you are thankful for what you have, you cannot have any more. And I went, oh my goodness. And I sat there and he goes, okay. And then he got right to being thankful. Then all of a sudden I went, oh my goodness, how many times? I'm not happy and thankful until I get what I want. And I got so when I went to Kenya, I brought back great riches. Yahweh was able to communicate something that I don't even know if I would have got if I had not gone to Kenya. So that was worth it. And so I'm so thankful Mom and Dad paid for that plane ticket. I came back a different person. Joy is a choice. And so we are to choose to be joyful. And so Mom and Dad would tell me that you better smile. And I thought it was child abuse. I better smile. Do it right. And here you're going to take pictures. You better smile. And here's Yahweh telling us all through these things. Be joyful. Be joyful. Be thankful. And a lot of times when we read these scriptures, it looks like it's an outside thing. And you want me to act like, you want me to fake it. That's what it looks like, right? Oh, I'm so thankful. No, he's telling you to tap into him. He's telling you got joy inside you. What is Mark 11:22? Look at the camera. Why don't you tell us Mark 11:22-24. Go slowly so we can hear it. Yeah.
Have faith of Yahweh. Blessed. Whomsoever shall say to the mountain, shall be lifted up and cast into the sea. That shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe what he speaketh, come to pass, it shall be his. For this cause will send you all things whatsoever ye pray for and ask him.
He always tells us, thank you, when you're asking for something, he tells you to be asking, be seeking, be knocking. And he tells you when you're asking, how should you ask? Like you already have it. Joyfully. Joyfully. Because if you got what you want, would you be thankful? Absolutely. There's a Yahweh was teaching me and helping me through some stuff, communicating. I'm glad my dad pointed out because people say Yahweh talked to me or Christ Jesus talked to me, and it's not audible. It's more of a communication. I've never heard, well, with a couple exceptions, an audible voice. It's just I know what I'm supposed to do. All of us know that. Yeah, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know I'm supposed to shut up or whatever. But here was something he was teaching me. I needed to start using my imagination. He was teaching me where I was guilty, as you are guilty, Kate. All of us are guilty in certain areas where we're moping around because we're not thankful. And what he would do is he goes, what would make you thankful?
I don't know.
Here I would communicate to the creator of the universe who had his son tortured to death on the cross for me. And he'd go, hey, Well, they're doing this. A lot of times, we only use our imagination for wicked things or rebellious things, right? Mm-hmm. Yahweh has given us an imagination to serve Him. How are you using your imagination? Is it to be like the woman on the farm that only used it to say, if I only had this, my life would be so much better. If I only had that, then my life would be... Would that honor Yahweh if we were always living No. Use your imagination to say, what would make you joyful? Imagine it. Get detailed. What would do it? Tap into it. You got what it takes. Would it be a bull? Would it be a elk? Would it be a touchdown? Would it be on stage with your own play? Whatever it is, you get started. And a lot of times getting started is the hardest part. Get started. And then as you do it, and you imagine it, and you start going, okay, get details. What kind of play is it? Okay, where is it? Is it in Wichita? Okay, do you want to do all the writing and the... Okay, you just want to be the main actress? You're kind of in charge, they write. Okay, you got that. Who do you want to be there? Do you want to be live TV? No live. Okay, so we can edit this. Great. How old do you want to be when you're doing it? Want to do it now, or do you want to be fully grown? You're 15 years old. Okay. What kind of dress do you want?
Black.
A black dress. Okay. Okay. What does your hair look like?
Like a bun.
It's in a bun? Okay, are you going to sing?
No.
No singing, just acting. Are you the main character?
Yeah.
Okay. How's your faith? After we just went to that exercise. It's stimulated, isn't it? It's stimulated. What did you just do? You just went into an invisible realm and tapped into something. And Yahweh wants us to do that, and when you do that, look at me for a second. How do you feel with that? It feels good, doesn't it? You know what Yahweh wants you to know? It's better than that. That's how you tap into joy. And then you step back and you go, how do I feel? I feel really good. All of us are to tap into your joy. Find a happy place. What would change the situation? Here's the Apostle Paul. Shipwrecked. Peter is in prison. They would have used their imagination to glorify Yahweh. What would that be? What would be, we're thinking about heroes like them. How would they use their imagination? I'm thinking the resurrection. Man, I'll be sitting there, and they're sitting there going, you can imagine, here's Peter and Silas in prison going, hey, you know, if they had TV back then, Peter, yeah, what's up, Silas? Well, man, when Jesus Christ and y'all are watching this video, what do you want them to think? Should we quit now? You mean this is live TV? Well, kind of. We'll be watching it in the future. Okay, so y'all always watch. I ain't giving up. You giving up? I know, sissy. You can imagine. They start imagining. Well, somebody's going to watch this movie someday. We're all going to get to watch our movie someday. And I can imagine Peter and Silas going, I ain't giving up. You kidding me? We're going to get rewarded for this. And also when they start doing singing praises, they tapped into something. And with any of these things, it's just like the Mark 11, 24 and 25. Believe you've already got it. Speaking it, faith comes by hearing. And then when you say it's even better than that, whatever your imagination is, what is that? You just opened up even the next level of faith. And the resources. We'll turn to Isaiah chapter 63. And we're going to read a couple verses that my father has printed off for the kids and I and him to memorize. It's 707. I can think about even like surprise parties. Everybody gets together. Everybody's crabby because they're trying to keep it a secret. They're trying to decorate everything and keep it in a secret. And you can imagine people. But when everybody shows up, what do? They put on their smile and they get ready to say surprise. Is that acting?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so is faith. Faith is acting. And my mom, it was so good at it. If you act enthusiastic, you'll become enthusiastic. If you act enthusiastic, you'll become enthusiastic. There's a whole other machine inside you. 63:3-5. Who would like to read? Kay, would you read that?
63. Who is this coming? Is from Edom with in bright red garments from Ralph. This maid splendid in his raiment, marching on in the greatness of his strength. Speaking in righteousness, mighty to save.
That's good right there. I wrote down the wrong verse. What is Isaiah 63?
It won't.
Because better is thy...
No, one.
Has said than life.
Oh, that's Psalm 63.
Psalm 63.
Yeah, 3 through 5.
Psalm 63. I think I had written down my the Psalms. Take two.
Play 5, 6, 8.
Thank you. There it is. Page 560. When you see the word loving kindness, it's the word chesed. Chesed is more than what I'll explain, but it's like obligatory covenant. That because I did this for you, you will do this for me. And so here's Yahweh. Okay, why don't you read? 3 through 5. Chapters 63, 3 through 5.
Because better is thy loving kindness,
chesed,
is than my lips aloud shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. In the name will I lift up my outspread hands. As with fatness and richness shall my soul be satisfied, and with joyful shouting lips shout my mouth upper praise.
Upper praise. Yahweh says through the scripture, we are the seed of Abraham. Yahweh, through his scripture, says we are seated in the heavenlies, that we are part of the Son's body. And they go, better is thy chesed than life. My lips aloud shall praise thee. And he's teaching us what to do. Are we supposed to memorize this? Yes. Are you supposed to read it or speak it in faith? Speak it in faith. Faith doesn't come by reading. It turns out, it says, and with joyful shouting lips shall my mouth utter praise. He's teaching us how to tap into his joy. Psalms 9. Take a left.
I know the verse. One,
you want to? Okay, you want to recite it?
Yep.
Okay. Do it slow.
Psalms 9. I'll praise thou with all my heart. I will count all thy wonderful doings. I will rejoice and exalt thee. I'll praise in song thy name, O Most High. Psalms 9:1-2.
I will. Amen. Excellent. I will recount all thy wondrous doings. You should need a whole lot of help with that. Think about a baby inside the embryo. Think about a duck swimming for the first time. Think about, you can think about anything. Look at the seasons. Look at all of his wondrous doings. I'll praise Yahweh with all of my heart. All of my heart. What is he telling you to do? Praise him with all of your heart. You need joy, right? Tap into his joy. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-22. Does anybody have that one memorized?
Yeah.
All right.
Evermore. Evermore rejoice. Everything give thanks. The spirit do not quench. Prophesy do not despise. From every form of wickedness abstain.
1 Thessalonians 5:16-22. When are you supposed to sit? When should you rejoice?
Evermore
rejoice. If we're not rejoicing, we are called teleos here, right? Then we should be raising each other up. Rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Look at the camera.
Rejoice in the Lord and always. Again, I say rejoice in the Lord.
When are you supposed to rejoice?
Always.
Always. Psalms 100. What does it say? Just start the beginning.
Make a joyful noise unto Yahweh.
Yeah, all the earth goes into it. And what are we doing? A neat thing with the joy, Yahweh's inside you. He will meet you halfway. And when you tap into his joy, does somebody else who's an unbeliever, a Muslim, anti-theist, people who reject that there's an Elohim, them, that's different. I don't know about them. It'll still help them. But with us, when we go, when we walk out in faith, we can tap into His joy. What happens when you do it? It's incredible. We can tap into His joy. He's not just telling us to, in my opinion, just to be joyful and thankful, which He is. But I believe when we walk out in faith and we say, in everything, give thanks. What happens when you do it? Somebody say it with thankfully. Who would like to do it? Say, in everything, give thanks, but say it like you mean it.
What did I say?
In everything, give thanks.
Did I say it?
Yeah, say it to the camera, but say it like you mean it, like you're on a play. Okay.
In everything, give thanks.
How does that feel? If you act. Now, I had a hard time in most of my life. I was so... I would have said I was shy, but my father corrected me. No, I was scared. I was shy. I didn't want to do anything embarrassing. I was scared. I was afraid of rejection. If somebody would have called it that, I probably would have changed. But shy is okay. I don't want to be embarrassed. That's rejection and fear. But I forgot where I was going with that. Exodus chapter 23.
Page 106.
So I am convinced that if we are not joyful, we have made a choice to not be joyful. We've made a choice not to tap into His joy. Why would we not want to be joyful? It's a good question, right? Ask yourself that when you're not joyful. Your old man's going to go, I'm not inspired. I don't feel like it. And that, what are we supposed to do with the old man? Anyone?
Strip him.
Strip him off. Kill him. And when you find your old man's flared up again, you do. We can make this really simple for the old man. Old man, what? You don't feel like it? Nope. I was wondering where you were hiding. You gotta die. And cut his throat. I'm going to say, I am commanded to be joyful. Yahweh is not commanding us to do something we can't do. You don't ask, Yahweh doesn't command a man to breastfeed a baby. Would that be fair to the man? No. Sometimes when we read the scriptures and it tells us to be joyful, we feel like, yeah, that's pretty easy for you to say. No, we can do it. We got what it takes. Exodus chapter 23, verse 14 through 12.
14
through 12? 23.
You mean 12 through 14?
Page 106. What did you say, Mom?
It's 14 through 12.
Oh, no, sorry. It's chapter 14 through 21.
Oh. Chapter 14.
Chapter 23, verse 14. Oh. You want to, would you like to read, or who would like to read?
I will.
Okay, Eli.
14 through what?
It's through 21.
Okay. Three times shalt thou keep festival to me in a year. The festival of unleavened cakes shalt thou keep. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened cakes, as I commanded thee, at the appointed time of the month Abib. For therein camest thou forth out of Egypt, and they shall not see my face empty-handed. In the festival of harvest, with the first fruits of thy laborers, which thou shalt sow in the field, and the festival of ingathering, at the outgoing of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy laborers out of the field, 3 times in the year shall all thy males see the face of the Lord Yahweh, Elohim Yahweh. Thou shalt not offer with anything leavened the blood of my sacrifice, neither shall the fat of thy festival sacrifice remain until morning. The beginning of the first fruits of thy ground shalt thou bring up into the house of Yahweh thy Elohim. Thou shalt not boil a kid into the milk of this dam. Lo.
No, that's good right there. So there's three festivals that Yahweh commanded Israel to go celebrate. One of them, the festival of booths, they were to do nothing but
rejoice.
Very good. How many days?
Seven
days. And if the people were righteous during that time, I can imagine priests walking around with a stick to hit people. Going, hey, you got to ruin it for all of us. Didn't you read about Achan? You guys know who Achan is, right? Remember your joke when they stoned him? That's why they called him Achan? of the best. That was great. I can imagine. If you're not joyful, I'm going to smack you. Get joyful. Get joyful. 7 days, nothing but rejoicing. We have Thanksgiving this week. You know, and how wonderful that is, that we can have a week to produce the most joy possible. And we should challenge ourselves. I need to produce more joy than I did last year. I need to tap into His joy. It's not just producing it. I think of Christ is inside me. How happy is He? Is He moping? Is He stressed out? It says, for nothing be anxious. Right? The author of that lives inside me. I have access to this. Not only could I do it, I think what we should be doing, we got seven, and what we should do is try to challenge ourselves to be the most thankful. Now, I think we should also guard our heart, protect ourselves, put on the helmet of salvation, because it's going to really irritate people. You guys ever seen somebody who's always happy? Yeah, and sometimes they really irritate you. The reason why I think so is that's our old man. Our old man does not want us to glorify Yahweh. Our old man hates Yahweh. And what we got to do is say, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to join them. I'm going to start smiling. I'm going to start goofing off. And sports is a good thing, because sports teaches you to kill your old man. Athletics, athletes who really start competing like you are in football now, learn something. Because your old man does not want to be its slave. And when you go play football in overtime, your old man is a slave. Do you know that? Because your old man wants to quit. He wants you to sleep, be lazy, be comfortable, and to be selfish. And when you go into an overtime game, that's not being selfish. What have you done to your old man? You're like, okay, we're in this together, you're my slave. And Romans 6 says, hey, it's your choice who's going to be the slave today. But here's Yahweh commanding Israel 3 times a year, and I would believe that if they were doing this correctly, it would be the most joyful ever. And encourage you on it. Come on, what's wrong? What's really going on ahead? Oh, my wife left me. Okay, after this week, address that. But during this week, joy. And I think of Yahweh. He created the animals. He created the fish of the sea, and they're all doing their work. But He gave it up. Do you have to? Here's dogs. Do you have to tell a dog to howl when a fire truck drives by? No. No, I hear these animals. But in my opinion, Yahweh gave it up, gave freedom of will to man. The last psalm says, let everything that has breath praise Yah. I don't think they have a choice. We were created in the image of Elohim. And it's up to us to glorify Him with our voice. And I think it's the same thing with our joy. I think with Adam and Eve, it's up to them. You guys go be fruitful and multiply. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. What chapter? 9. I could imagine if you read how many scriptures just with my father's, the scriptures he gave. Here's Psalm 63. Got to correct it. My retinary card does say Isaiah. I must have wrote it down wrong. I must have been thinking something else. I must have been thinking Isaiah 6:3. Do you know it?
Mm-hmm.
Very good, excellent. Boy, she's on spot. Okay, who would like to read 2 Corinthians? How about Isaiah? Chapter 9, 6-7.
6-7?
Yes.
Okay. To this, however, he that showeth sparingly also shall reap. And he that soweth with blessings, that also shall reap. Each one according that he hath purposed in his heart.
Purposed.
Not sorrowfully, not of necessity, for a cheerful giver, your love.
Not sorrowfully, nor of necessity. What is Yahweh love?
Sure.
A cheerful giver. And He commands us to be joyful. He commands us to sing songs of praise. He commands us to say, just look at me. And the thing is that if we really do look at Him, we will become joyful. I think it's up to us to produce faith for Yahweh like a tree. It's up to us to yield faith. It's up to us to yield joy. And I think with that joy, I really believe that we can tap into something. And how can you imagine if you got to see the video of people shopping for you for your Christmas presents, would that bless you if you got to see how excited they were? Oh, when I thought of Donna. Yeah. Donna is such a good giver. I can imagine her going, "This is perfect!" Getting so excited. I thought of your mom also. Going, "Oh, this is going to be the best thing ever." And I thought, if you could see that, would that make you joyful? Would that make you appreciate the gift more? Yahweh sees how we give to Him. He sees how we sow to Him. Now what if, and I just got to watch a movie that's not real good, I mean it's got some good stuff in it, but it was a teenage girl growing up with a bunch of wicked friends, she's trying to blend in with them, and during the movie she finds out how they talk behind her back. They're nasty, they're disgusting. Can you imagine unbelievers buying presents? Fine, I'll get them something. Oh, here's your present the next thing. You know, sometimes I believe that I give presents like that to Yahweh sometimes, if I'm not careful, then I'm going, "Oh, great. So much, I won't be getting a new video game." then I'll stick it into his first fruits box. Hey, it's better than nothing, right? To hearken is better than sacrifice. But if we want to level it up, so you'd say, he will, even before we even engage in that, he's watching me. How am I going to give to him? Cheerful giver, are you kidding me? I can't outgive you. What do you want? And what we can do is we can start looking at these things. We can start tapping into that joy. You were created to be joyful. Why is he telling you to be joyful? You were created to do it. It's like talking a duck into the water. You're really going to like it. Talking a dog into chasing a ball. They're created to do it. We were created to glorify Yahweh. We were created to orbit Him. We were created to... I see a satellite always orbiting the earth. And that's what we're supposed to do with Yahweh through Christ Jesus and His Word. And to be joyful. So this week, I'd like to challenge and encourage all of us, for the rest of this week, whatever we have, to tap into more joy than we ever have. Go into it with intentional thinking. Kill your old man. Your old man hates your joy. Is your old man ever joyful? Yeah, absolutely. I just read it in Proverbs. It says, "Don't rejoice when your enemy's reaping what he's sown." Least Yahweh, basically, says something like, "Least Yahweh turned back his wrath." I was thinking, here's Hillary Clinton fine going to jail. Yeah, I warned you in Proverbs. Don't do that, or she might not go to jail. Oh, chill out, guys. Chill out. So your old man does want to be joyful. But you tell him, "No, joy is reserved for my Father and my Lord."
Amen.
You, old man, are reserved for death. You're a dirtbag. Your time is limited here. And every day I make you my slave, I'll be rewarded. And then we can look at one another to say, "Hey, do you want to work for me in paradise? Or do you want me to work for you?" There's nothing wrong with competition. We should be looking to go, when is Christ coming back?
Who knows?
Esther could be the boss of Elijah in paradise.
Yeah.
Or hey, Melania could be my boss. And there's a great thing. When I read about Good Prophet with Charles Koch, here's the very beginning. Here's these godly principles. I don't know if he's a believer. It doesn't sound like he is, but the principles he is emulating is. It's on a good profit, producing and taking care of people. And he said, anywhere in Koch Industries, the employee can earn more money than any one of their managers if they can produce it. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If you can produce more work than your manager, you earn it, you get to keep it. Do people like that? No. They don't. Not unless you're very competitive. The same thing happens in sports. In sports, anybody can take his defensive end position. You earn it, you gotta keep it. So that's Coke Industries, and Christ Jesus was teaching that to his disciples. And he came back and they're fighting who's gonna be in charge. He goes, he didn't reprove him, but he goes, "He that is first will be last, and he that is last will be first." What does that mean? Putting yourself last by putting Yahweh first but I think we should do the same thing with joy. Let's say this next year, from this Thanksgiving to the next Thanksgiving, let's encourage one another. Tap into your joy. You got what it takes. And help other people tap into your joy. You're really good at it too anyways, with your laugh. So is your dad with his funny jokes. Lighten things up. Life is so short. But that's it. We'll go here.
May I say something real quick? In the morning, in the morning, when I go, Melania and I go to the park, it's dark out, and we start walking, and all of a sudden, I'll hear one little bird go, tweet, tweet, and then another one over here. The first thing they do is sing. You know, the birds sing, and they make a joyful noise. I always think of that as making a joyful noise unto Yahweh.
Before they eat.
Before anything.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
Amen.